5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Hair with a sphincter.
Put moron number two on the phone.
It actually did tighten up.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, how good is this? The sun has been out today. It's a magnificent day. The Cats had a win. And we're back on the Rush Hour. And great to have you, Joey Montagna, with us. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Bill, the King of Geelong. Must be a nice buzz in your hometown over the weekend. And today, with the Cats having a big win, you're able to go to beer gardens and watch the footy and have a beer and all those things that we're still jealous of in Melbourne. What? Must have been a great weekend down there.
Oh, magnificent. I forget that. I'm not being a smartass here or rubbing it in, but I just went to a mate's pub down the road here, the Belmont Hotel. You're allowed 50 outdoors. We had about 40 there, most of them Geelong supporters, and had a great night watching the footy. And I forget that you guys can't do that, which is just bloody stupid, to be honest, because we had a great night.
Yeah, it is. Don't get us started, Bill. We're hanging in there. We're hanging tough. It looks like it's going to be a bit longer now, but we're getting through. And anyway, it's a good weekend. I reckon this weekend of footy will be even better. There's going to be two cracking prelims.
Yeah, because they weren't great games. And speaking of Collingwood, old Rabs, you haven't heard from him, haven't seen him. Hello, Rabs.
Tell me, boy.
Are you sick and tired of filling void?
What was that?
I don't know. Was he singing?
Raps,
don't pick this stuff up because Geelong beat Collingwood by 68 points, Raps.
Well, you recorded that last year.
Anyway, how was your Collingwood side?
No, it was a very, very good win from the Cats, which I texted you straight after the game. Congratulated you because they were unstoppable. Paddy Dangerfield, bloody hell.
Kicking banana. When Reece Stanley kicked that goal, boys, in the first quarter on the boundary, Gary Rowan was taking marks and floating around like he was on fire. He was like Kelvin Templeton. And then Danger's kicking bananas from the boundary. You just go, oh, the Cats are on here. Yeah,
you should have seen Rabsy. Bill, we did the game for Triple M. He was meant to be producing, and he was just watching it like a Nuffy fan. He wasn't even concentrating. He's carrying on and throwing his head in his hands, and he was shattered. He started crying midway through the second quarter.
I did not start.
You did. I saw you well up midway through the second quarter. You did.
A bit of hay fever. Start crying.
A bit of hay fever, maybe. Oh, hey, hey, it's good. The top four sides are left, which is fair enough. In the Port, Brisbane, Geelong, Richmond, that's how they finished after the home and away, and that's how it probably should be.
That's exactly right. The four best teams for the majority of the year, and we're going to have two cracking prelims. I think if anyone had any combination of who's playing in the grand final, you'd have to agree. It could be any of the four teams, so really looking forward to this weekend.
And Rabsy, a sports report, thanks to our very good friends at
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why Sea-Doo is Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Well, number one, I saw a few of them down in the St Kilda Beach yesterday, the Sea-Doos. They stand out, they are magnificent. And we won't talk a lot of footy here, Joey, because Damo's up next and he's got all the footy news. But I just wanted to say off the top, well done to Travis Farco, a great Geelong player, played 138 games for the Cats, including 09 and 11 premierships, kicked important goals there, and then, of course, went on, played 92 games for Collingwood. So well done to you, Trav.
Yeah, absolutely. Travy, ripping fella too. Travy, I was lucky enough to tour Ireland with him 1 year in the international rules, and he doesn't mind a frothy, Bill. Trav, we had a couple of nights out, and he can play the guitar, and he can sing, and he entertained us a few nights. So he's a ripping fella, Travy. So, yeah, he had a great career. We wish him all the best.
Yeah, well done to him. Oh, now, what about this? Did you see the Bledisloe Cup on the weekend?
I caught bits of it. Yeah, I was watching a bit of it. Yeah, absolutely. Great game.
Well, Dave Rennie is a new coach and his first game in charge. All Blacks, they just smash us every time. It was looking a bit like that, Joey. Then the Wallabies come back and a bloke by the name of Reece Hodge, who we've had in the Rush Hour, actually, believe it or not, he had a shot on goal and it was a bit like, I think it took me back to John Eales when he did the same thing back in 2000, I reckon, a long time ago. But this Reece Hodge had a shot to goal to win it for the Wallabies, and have a listen.
Hodge, kick to win it. John Eales did it in 2000. Reece Hodge from his side of halfway Hodge. It's got the distance. It's off the post.
Gee, that's a good memory by that's a good memory by you, Bill. Remember back to 2000 when Eels did it.
Do you remember where you were? Wallet. Yeah, I was at the pub.
if Hodge had kicked that, that would have been the first time in 19 years that the Wallabies had won on New Zealand soil. They haven't been able to do it over there. So, unfortunately, it was a draw. But as you said, great game of footy.
And a nice touch after the game, Joe.
Yeah, they did. The All Blacks went into the Wallabies rooms and they celebrated together or shared a drink together because it was Michael Hooper, who I do know, Michael Hooper. He's one of the greats for Australia. It was his 100th cap. So the All Blacks went in there and made a little speech and presented him with a bottle of wine. That's good. That's old school stuff that we don't get to see much of anymore. The cricketers still do it a little bit, but that was really nice to see.
Yeah, spot on. Well said. And well done to the All Blacks and well done to old Hoopsie on his 100th cap. He did have a little cap, just see it. It's only a little one.
That's right, just a little cap.
You don't wear it, but it didn't fit his head. Daniel Ricciardo, did you see this on the weekend? His first podium. Now, again, I had to think about this one because he hasn't made a lot of podiums over the years, but I reckon it nearly goes back to maybe Malaysia 2011, and he's finally made a podium yesterday.
And Daniel Ricciardo gives Renault their first podium since Malaysia in 2011. There is a smile under the mask being worn by Cyril Abitbol. Well done, Ricciardo. Well done, Renault.
Is that a podium, boys? Is that a podium?
That's a podium. Yeah, nice shot, mate.
Hey, Bill, you're trying to be a smart aleck there and you just got caught out. You thought you were pretty happy with yourself. That was Renault's first podium since 2011. Daniel Ricciardo actually made a podium in 2018 at the Monaco Grand Prix. Bill.
He's reading the fact sheet now.
You're reading the fact sheet now. Yeah. You thought you were so clever.
you're breaking up. Rabsy, the machine's gone off.
Daniel Ricciardo.
I'm back.
He was
I'm
a podium.
Back, and as I said, it was Renault's first podium since 2011. Hey, but he dropped the magic. He's very happy with it, Daniel Ricciardo, who had made it since 2018.
Yeah, he has been frustrated with how he's going in the Renault, but finally they get a podium. So well done to him. And Lewis Hamilton, he won it once again. It's getting a bit boring with Lewis Hamilton. So he equals Michael Schumacher for 91 F1 wins. So that's an unbelievable amount.
Exactly. Well done to him. The French Open, did you see that?
I didn't. I must admit, I didn't see the French Open, but I could probably shut my eyes and tell you who'd win. I'm just going to guess Rafa Nadal. Don't know.
Rafa Nadal won his 20th Grand Slam title, but his 13th French Open, which is very slanted. He beat Djokovic 6-0, 6-2, 7-5, just wipe him off the court. But what do you reckon about that, Joey? His 20th Grand Slam title, but his 13th. If you don't mind, French Open.
Yeah, he's owned it. I mean, he's only lost three times. So he's won 13 out of 16 times he's competed in it. He's just absolutely owned the French Open. He dominated. Not too often Novak Djokovic has copped a bagel in a set, but he went down 6-0 in that first set. So Rafa still going at his age, and he equals Roger Federer, as you said, with the 20 Grand Slam. So we're still witnessing two of the greatest of all time. They're all still going at it, those big boys. They're slugging away.
And see Sammy Groff?
No.
Sammy Groff tweeted, "It's not easy to beat Rafa to take a game off Rafa in the French Open. I took three off him. 6-1, 6-1, 6-1.
And in the women's, 19-year-old Iga Swiatek. She won.
Who?
She won 6-4, 6-1, Joey.
Who
she
was
won
it?
6-4, 6. Iga.
I haven't heard
and
of
she is the first Polish tennis player to win a Grand Slam. And of course, Poland, Rabs, is right near.
Not that close, but we'll still play it.
Well, it's closer than Australia. And well done to Dylan Alcock, who's won again. He's won the French Open. He's won 11.
Alcott. Alcott. It's a double T. Alcott.
It's Alcott.
Yes.
Yes, get it right. The NRL.
Thanks, Cock.
What'd you make of the NRL there?
Good win by the Raiders.
You're rattled.
That's rattled him, Dylan Alcott. Melbourne Storm, they're going to play the Canberra Raiders. So that's going to be a beauty. The Raiders, a bit of a surprise win on the weekend. And Panthers, who have been flying all year, are going to take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So a couple of good prelims there too, Bill.
Super Netball, West Coast Fever defeated Sunshine Coast. That means West Coast Fever take on our Vixens next Sunday in the grand final, 1 p.m. Go Vixens there. And Joey.
The NBA, yeah. Congratulations to the LA Lakers. They have won the championship today. They smashed the Miami Heat, dominated from start to finish. That's LeBron James's fourth championship now, three different teams, and his fourth finals MVP. So that just continues that debate between Michael Jordan and LeBron James, but an amazing effort.
So pretty much. He won the MVP.
Yep, he won that. So that was a great effort, and obviously quite emotional too with Kobe Bryant. With what happened to him, the tragic circumstances earlier in the year. So the Lakers have won another title, and LeBron James is fourth.
What'd they win by? Because I think they're up at halftime by the second biggest margin ever in NBA finals.
It's irrelevant, Bill. They won by. Right. They smashed them. They won easily. It's irrelevant. They won well.
Well done, Joey. Very good there. I can see Damo on the screen. He's ready to go.
He's been riding a Sea-Doo around up at the Gold Coast as well.
Mate, he's brown. He was on the Footy Show yesterday for 2 hours. He actually got browner. He just was melting up there. And he's up next after this. Good work. Righto, Rabs. Hit a button.
It's a Rush Hour with Billy and Joey on Triple M. On the Triple M app and on your radio, this is the Rush Hour with Billy and Joey.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Damien Barrett up there in Queensland's got all the news, thanks to Coates Hire, and we welcome you to the show, Damo. And something you have been saying for a while, I'm going to hit you up with. Adelaide has confirmed Orazio Fantasia wants to return back to Adelaide.
Yeah, he has, Bill, and obviously still got a contract to wade through with Essendon, but it's something he wanted to do last year. It dipped his toe in the water, and the response wasn't what he wanted, so he went back to Essendon. It did not work, but he's been as equally a frustrating player as Joe Danaher has been at the Bombers, and in some way, Bill, once it's all said and done, and once he is transacted out of the Bombers onto one of the two Adelaide teams, Essendon will actually breathe a sigh of relief. Now, they're not going to admit to that, but the resource required and the management around him has not been a fair return for that club with how he's wanted to get out of the Bombers despite signing a contract and that being last year's situation. It's now playing out. It will play out this year, and he's added to the names of Saad and Danaher. And I suppose while we're on the Bombers, Joey, this, again, was in the throes now for some time, made public today that Andrew McGrath will commit for another 2 years, and you can expect for Jordan Ridley and also Laverde at some stage of the next week or so to join McGrath in publicly saying that he will be staying.
And that's important. They do need a bit of positive news to come out of that, and they need some of their leaders to really sort of bind and galvanise this group, and I think it's going to be off the back of Andy McGrath and Tyson Heppel, who you can tell are committed to that club and are real leaders, that they have got a big job to do at that footy club next year. Another club, Damo, the Hawks. We know they've made a lot of change as well, but more through the older players moving on. Poppy, Stratton, Frawley the other night. What's the latest with Isaac Smith? Will he stay a Hawk, or do you think he'll move on?
He's clearly considering it, which he's entitled to do. He's got that status as the free agent now. There is interest. Melbourne Footy Club is keen to see and further explore the possibilities around him, because they liked what Langdon brought to the mix this year, as you know, to double up on that wing part of the ground for them with someone of the class of Smith. The dilemma for them though is, Joey, he's going to be 32 and he's going to be seeking possibly a 3-year deal. So that's a big commitment for someone at that age. So whether you can work it back to 2 years, I think it brings it into play. And Bill, the other aspect to the Hawthorn considerations, to Joey's point about some of the older players again being exited out, is the still unknown about Jack Gunston. As we speak, he's yet to physically and publicly commit to remaining a Hawk. I'm not hearing anything strongly that he wants out, but at the same time, as we know, when you get to this stage of a season with the trade period officially about to start and you've got someone of that calibre not committed, at least in a contractual sense, it does raise the possibilities around him.
Also, Sicily is out for the year next year, so
might be tough times for the Hawks.
Well, it will be. And Frawley, that's what surprised me with Frawley retiring. That was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
At one stage of the year, I thought it was going to happen, and then he seemed to waver on that outcome. But ultimately, it was a decision made after the last home and away game, wasn't it, Bill? As you said before, with a couple of players playing their last game and being celebrated for that occasion, he wasn't one of them. But again, it's in keeping with how he's carried himself publicly throughout his career at two clubs.
Stand by for the rumours about Collingwood now, I reckon, Damo, because there seems to be, once a side exits the finals, there seems to be all sorts of rumours about that side. Yeah. Collingwood, but what is happening there? De Goey, of course, and is he managed by his dad?
Yeah, his dad, Roger De Goey, is the person controlling those negotiations. And that in itself was interesting. He's had two managers over the journey, Ben Nile and I think it was Nick Geishan prior to that. And he's now going down a path, Bill, that has a family member being that person. Nathan Buckley did refer to that post-match the other night. It's got to a situation where he may not end up being on as much money as he currently is, which is staggering, Joey, given that as we go back to 2018 and he kicked four goals in a prelim final, three in a grand final, he was on the verge of being the very next big thing in the AFL. It hasn't happened, has it? For reasons that haven't been out of his control at times with injury. But 2019 and 20 collectively were not as good as we expected with Jordan. Obviously, the reduction in salary cap for next year, be it at Collingwood or another club, he may well be having to consider a deal around about the $750,000, $800,000 mark, which is effectively what he's on and way short of the $1 million plus that North Melbourne offered him back as far as 2017.
I certainly don't think he's worth more than that. It's hard to argue he's worth more than $800,000 with what he's delivered the last 2 years. But you know, when you've got your dad in your corner, you're going to try and get every dollar you can. So that's going to be a tough one for Collingwood to negotiate. I'm sure they'll figure something out. The other one, though, Damo, surely Jeremy Cameron can't end up at Geelong. They are already a dominant side, the Cats. Can they really land Jeremy Cameron, you think?
Of course they can.
Yeah, they can. And it's a pretty simple mathematical exercise on this one, Joey, the way I look at it anyway. They were prepared, as we know, this time last year, and they were desperate to have this happen, to keep Tim Kelly. And to do that, they were well cognizant of the need to pay him about $750,000, $800,000. Now, those figures are pre-COVID, so you bring them back a bit. But ultimately, in a budgeting sense, they're able to pay for him in their offer for this year and the 2 and maybe even 3 years beyond that at that rate. That money hasn't been spent. Gary Ablett comes off the books at the end of this season. So too does Harry Taylor, almost certainly. You package that up. There's enough money there if indeed they want to go down that path. And just on him, Joey, the way I read it right now, and things always change and you never commit to an outcome in trade period given what can happen, but it's either stay as a Giant, which I still deep down expect to be the scenario for Cameron, or go to Geelong. I just don't see any other suitors coming in at this stage given the lifestyle component to wherever he wants to play his football.
Everyone wants to come to the City of Dreams. You know that, Joey. They all want to get down here in the beer guns where we can have 50.
Yeah, well, that's something else you can sell down there. You can go and have an outdoor beer. And, yeah, those things might appeal to some players because you can't do that in Melbourne.
Kind of palmy. Jack Steele, unbelievable year, and takes out the 2020 Trevor Barker Award at the Saints.
Yeah, resoundingly, wasn't it? It was a clear-cut win. I like the fact that Dan Butler was acknowledged for his very good year with second place in that ward. And the other one of the big recruits last year, Dougal Howard, came in third. Thoroughly deserving. He's going to poll, I would have thought, in the Brownlow. The guys that beneath him on that best and fairest list, I don't think they're going to be taking a lot of Brownlow medal votes off him. So with the Saints winning the 10 games they did this year out of the 17, there's going to be a fair few votes going Jack Steele's way. And while it does seem to be a done deal that Lachie Neale is in the mix for that particular award, I reckon still that Jack Steele and maybe even Travis Boak could push.
Yeah, I like it, Damo. Very, very good. And next year, Jack Billings didn't finish in the top 10 in the BNF, which caught my eye. I thought he might have finished.
And saw that.
10. Yeah.
Neither did Brad Hill.
And Seb Ross, a multiple winner, was down as far as 10th, which is a good thing for that footy
exactly
club,
right.
I think, that the depth goes that deep now.
And no Brad Hill.
No Brad Hill. Just on the Brownlow before we go to this break, Bill, I reckon Paddy Dangerfield still is going to do what he always does. He's finished top 10 on 8 occasions and either been winning it or a place getter in 3 of the past 4 years. I just can't see why he's not going to poll yet again. And if Lachie Neale doesn't get some votes early, it could be game on.
Ooh. All right. Like it, Damo. I like it. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. And we'll be back with you. very shortly.
It's a rush hour. Triple M. On Friday night, the Power take on the Tigers in a huge prelim, and the Friday huddle team will call the socks off it. Damo Barrett is part of that team, and for Coates Hire, he joins us right now on the Rush Hour.
He does indeed, Damo, and let's look ahead to those prelims, because we just said before, they are two cracking preliminary finals. You can make a case for all four teams to win through to a grand final. Let's look to the Brisbane Geelong game, because it was all about danger the other night. He was sensational as a forward. I think now Chris Scott has played his hand. I think Danger is going to try and spend more time forward if they can. How do you see it from the news perspective with Dangerfield in particular?
Yeah, Joey, it's a key. To me, it's the key talking point going into this game, how he uses him and when he pushes him forward. And obviously that will be dependent on the midfield control, won't it? Now, both clubs have got a really nice midfield setup. And ideally for Chris Scott, if the others are around Dangerfield in the middle of the ground are performing adequately, that's when he'll go forward. And to me, Joey, it's really intriguing. You saw what happened in that qualifying final where Harris Andrews didn't have an opponent effectively, and that was because Tom Lynch didn't play. He controlled that space, didn't he, to a point where he was a dominant player on the ground. Darcy Moore plays a sort of similar role to Harris Andrews, and yet the other game in the semi-final, Dangerfield being down in that part of the ground was able to nullify his effect. I reckon it's going to be a really interesting component. Him going forward, obviously, Bill, it creates a goal-kicking element to the Geelong setup, but equally, it might be a nullifying of Harris Andrews' component.
Well, spot on, Damo. This will be intriguing. Geelong are the most structured, disciplined, organised forward unit in the competition. They work so well together. It's how Hawkins gets his ice. Isolation. I think what I saw with Dangerfield, and it was interesting that he started forward, which means to me the Chris Scott's thinking, well, we can throw Dangerfield in the midfield if we need him, but we predominantly want him as a forward. You know what I could potentially see happening? I can see Tom Hawkins, the Coleman Medal winner, player who's dominated the competition, potentially playing a bit of a selfless role and almost drawing Harris Andrews out of the way and allowing Dangerfield to potentially dominate on a matchup that might suit them. Don't be surprised.
Are you saying you're going to make the All-Australian Tom Hawkins play the Billy Brownless to Gary Ablett decoy role?
Yes. Even the greats can do it occasionally, Damo. That's what I'm saying, Bill.
And then, all right, I like it. I do like that. So who goes to him then? Is it Gardner?
I think it's Darcy Gardner or Ryan Lester, and you've got Gary Rowan as well down there. It's just something I think that they'll think about. They're a really selfless unit, that forward line. And Tom Hawkins would be more than happy to either come up the ground high or move out the way if it means Geelong get through to a grand final. Don't worry about that.
And to me, there's equally intriguing storylines in advance of the other final too, the Port Adelaide-Richmond game, along the same, ideology when it comes to Dusty Martin. How do they use him going forward? Because we saw that McKenzie had to and did a very good job on Tom Hawkins in that first final. It's not necessarily the ideal matchup, though, is it? And that could have been a different storyline had Hawkins kicked straight. Ultimately, McKenzie got the job done. But if Dusty's to push forward with a forward line that includes Lynch, which wasn't the case in that first final, I don't know where Port goes with the requirement there to man so many stars.
Yeah, that's right. Cleary and Trent McKenzie, you probably have to play on Riewoldt and Tom Lynch. So again, it means Dangerfield's going to roam. Is it Tom Jonas that plays on him? I think Port would like that matchup. But this has been a bit of a change. Dustin Martin is not necessarily playing as a deep forward anymore. They've actually subtly adjusted his role, which I love from Damien Hardwick. He's playing more as a high half forward. So you're not seeing him take as many marks in the top of the square or kicking four or five goals. But what he is doing, he's had 20 inside 50s in the last 2 weeks. So he's playing a bit of a different role, which means someone like Tom Jonas, who would usually take him, it might have to be a half-back like a Darcy Byrne-Jones or a Hamish Hartlett, which I think Richmond would really like. So interesting there, some tactical changes from the coaches in the finals we've seen.
And Bill, while it's obviously disappointing for people connected to both Collingwood and St Kilda for those teams to bow out at the semi-final stage, I think from the neutral footy observer, to have the top four teams from the home and away season into the prelim finals, and the two defeated qualifying finals teams, the great Richmond, the great Geelong, to get the second chance in the confines of the final series, to me it just creates an intrigue because they're both, and respectively, going up against teams that have been the least disadvantaged when it comes to the problems of COVID-19. So there's storylines everywhere, and it's intriguing to see how it's going to play out.
And even seeing who survived the hubs. Now, when you look back at it, Dame, I mean, Brisbane and Port have been lucky to spend a lot of time at home, but when it gets to it, only the strongest survive. And the two teams that have gone through the hubs are the best have been the Cats and Richmond, who are experienced premiership players, you know, a real mature club, and maybe there's no surprises that's been the case.
Or do we look back and say, Port Adelaide, exactly, didn't have the hubs. They play their first two finals at home. Brisbane, again, not in the hubs, play their first two finals at home. They go straight through the grand final, do we?
We might be saying that post, yeah, absolutely.
We do, but you look at Richmond, don't you, having the final seven games of home and away season at the MCG and then playing, you know, effectively more finals at the MCG too in certain years just gone by. So I'm all for the evening up, albeit inadvertently through COVID-19 this year. And they've got the pressure, Bill, haven't they, of now having had the week off and waiting for these two great outfits to now come at them.
I tell you what, the AFL and Gil will be breathing better now, I reckon, because they're nearly there. They are nearly there, Damo, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, Bill. Obviously, when it all got shut down, they had this narrative when they played those first nine games of round one that there was still going to be 144 games remaining of that 153 game season, and it just seemed an insurmountable number. You then had to tack on the nine finals. Well, we've got through six of those finals. There's three games left out of that extraordinary situation that they've been through, and it's now hard to see it not being reached, this finishing line now, whereas even 6 weeks ago, we were still wondering, weren't we?
No doubt. All right. Thank you, mate. Good work. And, geez, you got brown. I saw you yesterday on the TV. You're looking like Chris Scott. You're looking good, Damo.
I wish I looked as good as Chris Scott, Bill. I have seen a bit of sun up here, though, too, inadvertently, just walking the streets of the Gold Coast here. It hasn't rained in the 6 weeks I've been here. It has not rained, apart from that two-minute patch before the Sunday footy show about 4 weeks ago, Bill, and you still got a lot of mirth out of that situation I was in. But that rained for about 90 seconds that day, and it hardly wet the ground.
Hey, good on you, mate. Well done again.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Damo.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co Tire on 13 15
52. It is the Rush Hour, Billy and Joey. Plenty to come, including Bill's joke. Billy and Joey, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Thank you. Good, Rabsy. I was going through the house, Joey, at home, because I'm selling up. I'm moving house. So I was going through an old box of VHSs and Beta. Did you ever have the VHS and the Beta machines?
No, I don't know about Beta. I had the VHS, but what's a Beta machine?
Beta's the one before the VHS.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Still got a few videos tucked away, do you, Bill?
I have.
What sort of videos?
A couple of ones labelled just football, when I don't know if it was actually football, to be honest. Debbie Does was one of them.
Come on.
Yes, but anyway, I did find one, and I still got a VHS, believe it or not, so I put it on. And you wouldn't believe what popped up, but this.
Ooh. McCormick races through, puts the ball long, down hoping for Brownless. Brownless over the top, takes the mark, and Bill Brownless, who has kicked two goals, three to date tonight, hoping to put some sort of respectability into the score. Making no mistake, Brownless brings up goal number three personally, and we see Assumption get a 9-goal 660 with Marcelin College on 18-5, 113.
Oh, Bill, an old school tape. Assumption v Marcelin.
Out at Waverley, that was Bob Skilton.
I was going to ask, that voice was very familiar, Bobby Skilton.
The great Bobby Skilton was commentating all the Herald Shield games. And you, of course, went to Marcelin,
I was a Marcelin boy, that's why it didn't surprise me. We won by about, what did it say, 70 points or something. Easy. It sounded like the score that day. And you only kicked three, Bill, playing school footy.
Well, 3-3, and I would have given away about six or seven. But year, we had a pretty good year. That's back in 1984. That's 16. That's 36 years ago.
Was Gavin Brown or Stephen Silvani playing then?
Stephen Silvani, and I played on a bloke every time called Bonza, who used to punch the crap out of me. That's why I maybe only kicked a goal. But they were the good old days, my friend, where we used to, about eight buses would come from Assumption, Kilmore, and they'd all sit on the wing and they'd all have their blue blazers on and they'd cheer for the Assumption boys. It was fantastic days back then.
It was. I've still got great memories from school. We were the first time ever they had the AGS grand final, because before that, Bill, it was just the team that finished
on top.
In 2001, it was the first time ever it was a grand final. It was Marcelin v Assumption, the two, obviously the two schools that dominated, and they let the whole school out to watch Marsden play at the ground. So did you think we thought we were kingpins at year 12 at school, strutting around playing in a playing in a grand final? So yeah,
who won that?
Yeah, Marsden. We won. We won back-to-back premierships in 2000 and 2001.
Well done. So just so we like to just look back, and when I used to have hair and skinny.
I did see a photo of you in that. I saw it on socials. You look like Oscar. You actually do look like Oscar.
Well, he's a bit shorter.
and probably quicker.
And I used to do some of my best work too back then. Oh, yes, Joey, and time for a joke now, just to finish off. Very nice show. Thank you very much again.
Daisy on tomorrow as well.
Yes, Daisy tomorrow. All right, your joke. I know you don't give your best ones early in the week. You save them for later, but let's see what you've got.
And Andy Lee as well on tomorrow, Bill.
Andy Lee?
Yes.
What are we talking to him about?
Oh, just
stuff.
Here you go.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Oh, his podcast or something, I dare say. Just a quick one today, Joey. We've got to get going. I've got to
what do you got to do?
Do something.
You've been off today, Bill. Oh. The joke's not going to be good, is it?
No, it's not. Yesterday, I went to a Weight Watchers party, but nobody mentioned obesity. I guess nobody wanted to mention the elephants in the room.
That's you and I, Bill.
Oh, I know. Where I did see you there.
Oh, Bill. And Rapsy was there too.
Rapsy was there.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Oh, good work. Well done, mate.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Enjoy the week.
Daisy tomorrow. Andy Lee tomorrow. The Rush Hour. Sam, bam, boom, wow.